It is Monday, and that means we check in with Dick Weiss, media critic. He was a longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He is retired and started his own website, WeissWrite.com. WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite, and he's our media critic. Dick, welcome back, my friend.
Good to be back.
We've turned the magnifying glass on us a little bit this week.
Yes, I was listening to, you invited me to do this, listening to your interviewing techniques. You promised me a Rudy Giuliani interview. It's not up on your website yet, but I did listen to Mitt Romney and Bill Cosby.
Yes.
And I think you did a nice job with Mitt Romney. You asked him a question that lots of people have asked about gasoline prices.
Right.
And I would only suggest to you that you get at another crisis in our country that has been overlooked by most of the media.
Yes.
Now, gasoline, the last time I checked, was still cheaper than the car that you need to buy for the gasoline to use. And, however, nobody's asked presidential candidates about the cost of ink for your printer. So I would like to ask you, McGraw, if you were the presidential candidate, how you would address this question. What are you going to do to bring down the price of ink for printers? You now are basically can spend $30, $40, $50, which is more than the cost of a printer, for the ink at Office Depot or wherever.
Right.
What are you going to do to bring that price down?
So ink is your big issue.
Ink is the nobody's talked about this. It's a crisis in our country, and I think we need to bomb somebody.
I will say this about the interviews, whether it's with Mitt Romney or Giuliani, more so with politicians. It's very hard to get them to answer any question. And so you ask it, and you try to and you want to ask them something that hasn't been asked, but you certainly want to ask them questions that are somewhat relevant. I mean, you don't want to ask them, hey, what are your thoughts about going to the moon? Because that's not necessarily relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Or that might be relevant at some point. But so it's very hard to pin these guys down. And they're so good at deflecting the question and answering it partially and then spinning it towards their own agenda.
Well, if you say so. I have some other questions.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm
so
sorry.
I want to one question.
Hold on a second. And you're not holding any punches on me?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Treat me another like you would anyone of
let's
your
just
writing.
Say you are the presidential candidate, okay?
Okay, yes.
Governor Milhaven.
Yes.
And this is a question aimed at the deficit and things like that. Did Golden Oak Lending ever cure your blues?
All right, continue.
Don't you think that would, if Golden Oak had, that would be give you some insight into the candidates?
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Now, I don't know if this is a question that you could ask Mitt Romney.
All right.
But would you consider a pardon for the stylist who cut your hair?
Oh, I would not.
No.
She is
jail.
She is going to spend every last second behind bars after this butcher job.
Yeah. Okay. Now, those are sort of facetious questions. But here's some questions, that, and I don't take credit for coming up with these. This is a writing coach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, by the name of John DeGroote, put together a bunch of questions for a profile interview. And I thought some of them were kind of insightful. And actually, in your interview with Bill Cosby, I thought you began to approach that kind of questioning. When you asked Bill, I think you said, when did you think that you really had it made?
Right. When did you make it?
Well, when did you look for people, turning points in people's lives and so on. And So among the questions that you could ask a candidate that might get them off their talking points, and you might get a thoughtful response, would be, what was the saddest day of your childhood?
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good question. That's a good question, right?
All right. Now, this one would be perhaps for Hillary, but when did you get your first doll? Victoria, when did you get your first doll?
Oh, I don't even recall. I guess I was a toddler.
I was.
Actually, I have a picture of it. So
I was about 17.
Yeah, I was just saying. Nobody probably didn't get one.
And I got a pump the very next day.
Now, that would be a great question for Rudy Giuliani.
When did you get your
first doll?
Your first doll.
Yeah.
Ask a presidential candidate.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And when
your reason, because it gets them thinking outside of what they're normally necessarily
thinking.
Well,
first of all, you'll get a spontaneous response. They may respond with humor. They may respond angrily. Who knows?
Right.
And then you'll get some insight into you'll get something that is real.
Oh, you didn't get to hear
I didn't get to hear
he
that.
He did ask a question that asked him about The Sopranos, which I thought was
right.
very clever.
Well, that was at the end. We were just having fun.
Yeah, but it was good.
The other one would be, when did you learn there was no Santa Claus?
What?
I'm sorry. And I've gotten in trouble with that before.
Uh-huh. See, that's the difference between broadcasting.
I actually did that for a story that I wrote for kids about how to be a world famous, fabulously successful writer. And the lead was Parents Lie. And I said, they told you there was a Santa Claus, and that appeared in the paper, and all the outrage. And it didn't help, of course, that I'm, you know, a Jewish guy. ruining everybody's Christmas.
Editor and not a writer.
Right. But Hanukkah Harry lives.
All right. What do you think of Dan Rather's critique of Katie Kirk?
Well, you know, Dan lives in a glass house.
Right.
Okay. And he's had his troubles. And it was interesting. CBS fired back. And they said, well, you know, basically said that Dan left CBS's reputation in tatters. I really felt that comment about CBS tarting up their broadcast was a little bit out of line. But from what I understand, he had actually said that while he was there, that he felt that CBS was tarting up the broadcast. So I don't know that he meant that personally towards Katie Couric.
You didn't think it was a sexist comment?
No, she obviously has not done well in the ratings. There's no question about that. But the one thing about Katie Couric, I guess that I kind of admire is her as a person, is that you have a sense of her, perhaps because she'd been on the Today Show for so long, as a sort of a total human being. She has a family.
Right.
She had a husband.
You know her foibles.
She lost, and right. so on and so forth. Dan Rather, I always felt as if he never went home.
Right.
That he lived there.
Right.
And that he was not a particularly well-rounded individual.
Right.
And I guess that doesn't necessarily translate to ratings, but it makes me feel more comfortable with Katie Couric than I did with Dan Rather. And Charlie Gibson also comes off that way as somebody who's a well-rounded human being.
Well, I will say this, that when we were in New York for the Talkers Convention, we were inside ABC News, and I have never seen people gush over somebody like Charlie Gibson. They said that obviously they work with him and he's sort of their boss, but not really, because he's TV and they were radio. But they said he is exactly what you see. He's a real man. He's a real guy. He's genuine. He's nice. He's overly nice. He's like stupid nice. But you could certainly think that about Charlie Gibson. He seems
yes.
like a good guy.
Yeah. And he has the virtue of being like the anchors that we've loved through the years of Walter Cronkite and so on, kind of avuncular. Male,
right?
And we're used to males
right.
giving us the serious news of the day.
But the criticism of Katie Couric is just mean spirited. That's really the only thing about it. They just see somebody down, and so they're kicking on her because she's doing fine. I watch that news virtually every night. They've got Laura Logan from Baghdad doing whatever. I mean, it's just not to mention it's only a half hour news. How are you supposed to bring the whole world to your doorstep in a half hour in 22 minutes?
Right. I think I heard some commentators said that Katie Couric isn't the problem. She may not be the solution, but she's not the problem.
Right.
CBS News.
I want to get to your, what are your thoughts on yesterday's front page, above the fold, banner headline, bold face type, about the developer who has the audacity to be trying to buy up all sorts of vacant properties and burned out properties up in North City.
Yes, that was quite a story, and I want to give the Post-Dispatch credit for shining a light in what was a dark place. I mean, we didn't know that this individual was buying up all this property. What I have some doubts about is that this story is sort of cast in a victims and villains kind of light.
Thank you.
And, I'm not sure that it needs to be done that way. For those of you who missed the story, it would be hard to miss if you had a Post-Dispatch in your hands, but if you didn't, you would have missed it. Essentially, this individual, Paul McKee, has bought up a tremendous number of properties all throughout North St. Louis, with designs at some point redeveloping those properties, and I assume he wants to make some money off of them. Many of those properties were run down or derelict. Some had some people living there. And it's unclear what his vision is for North St. Louis, but he obviously has some ideas and some plans. And he got some politicians involved in thinking about making this reasonably affordable and creating a tax credit program. And the way the Post-Dispatch has couched it, it was a tax credit program for one man, Paul McKee. However, as you read later on in the story, even Paul McKee may not be able to qualify for
right.
this program.
Right, right.
And then, of course, it tells you that Paul has donated some money to some of the politicians who were involved.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. And, you know, one of them is the governor, and the other is the lieutenant governor, Peter Kinder. The governor has been accused of playing politics with donations in the past.
But every governor is criticized for that. And every politician is criticized. Anytime anybody votes on it, the opposition always says, well, he's getting money, so therefore, you know, whenever you don't like what a politician's doing, he's bought and paid for by the opposition.
Right. And then, but Peter Kinder has I think in some ways, and this is always tough, there are lots of shades of gray here, I think has a better reputation in that regard and seems a more well-intentioned individual.
Okay.
And his name is dragged into this as well.
Here's my point on this whole story, and I hope you didn't hear my first hour today, because we talked about that, this story. Earlier in the week, you had the whole eminent domain Clayton case, where these big bad corporations are going to come in and take away this poor person's property, okay? Which it hasn't been reported too widely that they're being offered 3 times market value for it. Then you have a guy in Sunday's paper. So Centene's vilified as this awful big bad company. Then Sunday, you open up the Sunday paper, and a local developer who is quietly buying a property to try and do a development, when no one's mentioning eminent domain, he's just trying to do it, buying up property on the open market, and wants to do it quietly, because once somebody finds out he's trying to amass all these properties together, all of a sudden, guess what? Those properties go up in value, and it might queer the deal. So here this guy is just trying to be a regular businessman developer, and all of a sudden, he's vilified because he's not doing it fast enough and not telling everybody exactly what he wants. Seems to me like you can't win either way you try and do it.
That's true. If you have a lot of money, people will be suspicious. If you're advocating and lobbying for government assistance in some way, people will be suspicious. As I said, I think it's great to bring out this information, what he's up to, because it needs scrutiny. People need to comment on it. But the way in which you couch it is kind of interesting. I wonder if in their approach to McKee, they did not get a tremendous amount of comment from him. They did get some. Whether they were approached him in a kind of an adversarial way. Say, hey, you know, what's going on here, buddy?
How dare you paying off politicians or something
like that. But I would prefer that journalists approach somebody like this and say, what are you trying to do for our city?
Right.
What do you have in mind? What's your vision? What are your dreams?
Right.
And then you'd ask the tough questions like, what's in it for you?
Right. Well, see, here's what but I'm not so sure shedding the light on it is a good thing, because now everyone knows what he's trying to do. So guess what? Automatically, those properties he goes out trying to buy are going to be worth more only because he's trying to do something.
That's, not good for his project.
Right.
But,
and not necessarily good for North St. Louis and the region.
May not be, but I still think that basically you want to know what people are up to.
And so now someone's going to say, well, you know what? We need 3 more properties and we have enough to build this. And so those people aren't going to sell and they're going to call eminent domain. And then all of a sudden he's a heathen because he's now trying to kick people out of their house they've lived in for 800 years.
Yeah.
So
interesting story.
What's your story of the week?
Of the week comes from your best stories you never read, from your cousin J.R. Moringer, who late of the L.A. Times, who wrote a terrific piece about Cheetah, who was Tarzan's co-star. Cheetah is still with us, 75 years old, and this is a piece looking at the world through Cheetah's eyes. I think that JR maybe fabricated some quotes from Cheetah. I'm just guessing, but it's on my website. You can go read it, see for yourself. I have a picture of Cheetah and JR, and I do note that Cheetah top left, JR top right. That's, okay, that's, just so you don't get confused.
There you go. There you go.
Because he makes a lot of comparisons between humans. And
you really liked that story, huh?
Yeah, it was great, and it brings in the controversy over evolution and all kinds of interesting angles. You'll learn a lot, and you'll laugh as well.
There you go. All right, and that website is weissrite.com, WeissWrite.com. Dick Weiss, media critic. Thanks, buddy, for coming in.
Okay.